Many people long for heaven on earth. Writers describe in detail what they imagine it to be. Artists attempt to create images of peace and perfection. Others travel to exotic places, hoping to experience anything close to excellence. But the only true golden age is yet to come. Dr. David Jeremiah explains that the establishing of the kingdom of God on earth, God's millennium, will be brought about by God's power, not man's effort. Here's Dr. David Jeremiah to tell us more about this coming time as he introduces today's message, God's Ultimate New World Order.
We thank you so much for joining us today. We're into this new week, and this is an exciting week for us. Today is Election Day, and of course, everybody will be watching carefully to see what happens in this midterm election. And then this coming Thursday night, we're going to be right in the center of it all as we come to Washington, D.C. for our rally. Someone asked me the other day, did you plan this with the idea that you would be in Washington during the week of the election? And I must tell you, we did not. We discovered it after we'd already done it several weeks after we had planned it. And we know that God doesn't make any mistakes. Maybe there's a reason for us to be there then. And we will not be doing a political thing that night, but simply rejoicing in the Lord and giving great hope to all of us as we face the uncertainties of the future. We will concentrate on the certainty of our Lord. And we're going to be at the Verizon Center there in Washington, D.C. at 7 p.m. We have a wonderful pastor's breakfast that morning at the very same place at 8 o'clock. All of these events are free, but they are ticketed events, and that is, you must have a ticket to attend, and the tickets are available from Turning Point. Go to davidjeremiah.org/rallies, order the tickets that you will prayerfully use, and then come and join with us. We look forward to seeing you. This could be a great night as we center our attention on the Lord in the very, well, the seat of power of our nation, if you will, on a very historic week in the history of America. I am so excited about coming to Washington, D.C., and all of us are. We hope that you will be there with us to sing praises to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Well, right now, we want to go back and finish up what we talked about yesterday. What's going to happen on this earth when Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords over all that happens on the earth? The Bible speaks of it in the book of Revelation and the 20th chapter and several places, both in the Old and New Testament. We call it the millennium, which is a word that means 1,000 years. The Bible tells us that for 1,000 years, Jesus will rule over this earth in righteousness and in justice. It will be God's ultimate new world order.
Charles Ryrie, who was one of my teachers in seminary, was writing something about the millennium. He made an interesting point I'd never thought of before. He said, why does there need to be an earthly kingdom? Because Christ must be triumphant in the same arena where he was seemingly defeated. His rejection by the rulers of this world was on this earth. His exaltation must also be on this earth. And so it shall be when he comes to rule this world in righteousness. He has waited long for his inheritance. Soon he shall receive it. King Jesus is coming back to set up his kingdom on this earth. He's coming back to remove Satan from the earth, to reward his people, and to respond to the prophet's predictions. Here's one you can put in your metal computer, and you will never forget it if you ever say the Lord's Prayer. Can we say the Lord's Prayer together? Let's say it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's just stop right there. Let me ask you a question. Has there ever been a time when his kingdom has come and his will has been done on earth as it is in heaven? Has there ever been a time like that? Yeah. I have a little thing that I do when I pray through that prayer, and I pray, Lord, help me on this day to make sure that your will is done in my life on this earth just as it will be in heaven. And, you know, some days that happens, but many days it doesn't. But there's coming a day when Jesus will come back and he will fulfill that prophecy. He's coming back and his kingdom will be on this earth and his will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. How is his will done in heaven? Absolutely, perfectly, without delay, without discussion, without trial. And when he comes to set up his kingdom on this earth, that's exactly the way it will be. King Jesus will be in residence and he will rule this world with absolute authority on earth, just as it is in heaven. He's coming back to remove Satan from the earth, reward the people of God. He's coming back to respond to the prophet's predictions and to receive the answer to the disciples' prayer. And here's the last one. This may surprise you. He's coming back to prove once and for all how rebellious we all are. He's coming back to reveal the rebellion in the heart of man. You say, "Well, I don't get that one, Pastor. How does that work?" Well, watch carefully. The millennium will answer once and for all the age-old question of whether man's sin stems from environment or heritage. You see, the millennium is going to feature 1,000 years of unbroken peace and unbroken prosperity, during which Christ will rule from Jerusalem with an iron rod. Yet at the end of this age of perfect bliss, Satan will be loosed for a short time to demonstrate that the heart of man is indeed black with sin, and that even in a perfect environment, unredeemed men will turn against God and rebel. The millennium demonstrates that the death of Christ is essential for man's salvation. Do you get it? You say, "Man, if I just lived in a better neighborhood. If I just had, I mean, I come from a long line of losers, Pastor. How do you fix that? If I just had better neighbors, or if I just had a better spouse, or if my situation was better." Well, listen to me. Almighty God is going to prove. He's going to build a situation that's perfect. He's going to rule and he's going to reign. There's going to be peace and prosperity, everything that a man could want. And men are going to live within that perfection, and they're still going to turn against God. Because you see, the Bible says the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It will no longer be "the devil made me do it." It will be "my simple rebellious spirit. I will not have this man to rule over me." And at the end of the millennial period, God will have made his final point. There is no salvation apart from Jesus Christ. You cannot be the person you want to be in your own strength, even if we put you in a special environment and give you the chance to do it. You can only be the person you need to be if you let Jesus Christ come and live within your heart and change you into a new person from the inside out. So I'm going to ask you this question in the middle of my sermon. Have you done that? "Oh, I'm waiting for the millennium, Pastor." No, you don't want to do that. You put your trust in Christ. He will give you a piece of the millennium right now. Did you know that the king is going to be in charge over all the earth, but you make him in charge right now in your heart? He can be your king right now in your heart, and it's the only way you can ever be a righteous person. Okay, well, those are the reasons why he's coming back. But what is it going to be like when he returns? And you're going to have to bear with me here, because I got so caught up in this. And let me just give you a little secret about what I can do when I preach. I can preach 23 pages of notes. That might mean nothing to you, but when I got all done, I had 39. So I spent the rest of the week editing, and I'm not going to tell you how close I got to the goal. So here we go. You see, the Bible is so full of truth about this period of time that there's just no way you could ever cover it in one period. But let me do the best I can. Let me try to give you a little picture of what it will be like in the new world order when Jesus is ruling and reigning over the whole world. Are you ready? First of all, it's going to be a time of peace. A time of peace. There's a statue across from the United Nations headquarters in New York that has this inscription: "They shall beat their swords into plowshares." When Christ rules the earth, that which the world has longed for so many years will become a reality. There's never been a year in my life when there hasn't been a major war going on somewhere. All of the treaties that were signed in the early days of my existence have already been broken many times. War is a part of this world, but we've learned already that there's coming a day when there will be no war. Only then will the message we say at Christmas time, "Peace on earth, goodwill to men," only then will that be fulfilled. There will be no more war. Kingdoms will be unified. All man-made implements of mechanized warfare will be eliminated. Here's what the prophets say about this coming age of peace. I'm just going to read several scriptures, and I'm putting them together, but I want to read them so you can hear what the Bible says about this. In his days, the righteous will flourish, an abundance of peace until the moon is no more. He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they will beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Neither shall they lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. The wolf also will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. The young ones shall lay down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This will be a time when war will be utterly unknown. Not a single armament plant will be operating. Not a soldier or a sailor will be in uniform. No military camps will exist, and not one cent will be spent for armaments of war. Not a single penny will be used for defense, much less for offensive warfare. Can you imagine such an age when all the nations shall be at perfect peace and all the resources of the earth formerly used to protect the nation are now available for enjoyment? And all industry engaged in the manufacture of the articles of war now are making articles of peace. Now, Scripture often speaks of peace, but sometimes we miss it. Peace is not just some little feeling in your heart. The Bible says that peace is a way of life. In the millennium, when King Jesus is in charge, peace will be the way of life. Isaiah 59:8 says, "The way of peace they have not known." Speaking of those who do not know the Lord. Luke 1:79 says, "To give light to those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." During the millennium, we all be living in the way of peace. In our fallen state, we are not capable of living righteously before God, and we cannot get along with our fellow creatures. For this reason, Israel came to understand that shalom, or peace, could only be established and sustained by God. When he rules over this earth, not only will he have peace in the hearts of those who know him, but there will literally be peace in the world. Nation will not fight against nation, and we will study war no more. It will be a time of peace. But maybe you were looking forward to this point. It will also be a time of prosperity. In the millennium, all want will be eliminated. Prosperity will characterize every part of the world. The curse, listen to me, the curse which descended upon the physical world because of Adam's sin in the garden, that curse is finally lifted. And during the millennial period, there is no longer any curse. The world in general will be delivered from its unproductiveness, and prosperity will be the word of the day. The prosperity in the golden age of the millennium will be like nothing anybody has ever seen on this earth since the Garden of Eden. There is no way to describe that day better than the prophets did. Hear from the words of Isaiah, Ezekiel, Joel, and Amos without interruption is a look at the prosperity of God's ultimate world order. Now remember, the prophets put this in the language they understood that would convey it to their generation. So you have to take the step and understand this is what it meant to them. What would that mean to us? And you'll get that real quickly. Watch carefully. It was an agricultural age, so much of this is in agricultural knowledge. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. For the waters will burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool and the thirsty lands springs of water. If you've ever been to Israel, you know that as you drive between some of the places in Israel, you'll see what used to be a desert. And through ingenuity, the Jewish people have converted the desert into a productive land. They've done it through ingenuity. One day, God's going to do it by fiat. He's just going to say it and it'll be done. Isaiah 60:11, "Therefore your gates will be open continually," speaking of Jerusalem, "they shall not be shut day or night, in order that men may bring to you the wealth of the Gentiles and the king's possession." In other words, Jerusalem's going to be open day and night just so they can bring all the money in. from all over the world. It will be so wealthy. Ezekiel 34, I will cause showers to come down in their season. There shall be showers of blessing. Then the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. I will call for the grain and multiply it, and bring no famine upon you. I will multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields, so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. The desolate land shall be tilled instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass by. So as they pass by, they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. And he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month, and the threshing floors will overflow with new wine and oil. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. And here's my favorite one out of all the verses, because this is such a visual image for me. Listen to this. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman will overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him who sows seed. And the mountain will drip with sweet wine, and the hills will overflow it. Get this picture. Here's a guy reaping, and he can't stay ahead of the guy plowing behind him who's getting ready to put in more seed. The earth is turning over its produce so fast that the plowman's overtaking the reaper. Can you imagine? Just look out into the field. If you want a picture, that would be. Here comes the guy. He's harvesting the wheat, and right behind him is another guy in a tractor with a plow, and he's plowing to put the seed in right away. And it says he's got to be careful that he doesn't overtake the one who's reaping the previous harvest. Whoa. Now that's productivity. That's prosperity. That's the way they would say it in the Old Testament. In our day, we would say, you can't make one deposit before somebody's standing in line behind you to give you some more money to make another one. Oh my goodness, think about that for a moment. It'll be a time of peace and prosperity and a time of purity. Now, I've already told you that the kingdom age is not a dispensation of sinlessness. There will be some people, even in that blessed time, who will dare to act in defiance to the will of God. But here's the difference. They won't get on a schedule for trial. They won't go to court. They won't have a defense lawyer. Let me tell you what. Jesus Christ is both the prosecutor and the judge. And he knows everything. They will come to make their plea. He says, you know, I know what you did. I saw you do it. You're guilty, judged, sentenced, now. There won't be long lines of people waiting to be treated for their evil deeds. In the kingdom, Jesus is going to say, I know you did it. Don't say a word. You're guilty, judged. Over. You can see a lot of people in court when it works like that. And of course, he's going to have his emissaries who are ruling and reigning as he does. It will be a time of purity. There will be no corruption. Christ's kingdom will be a holy kingdom. Here's a few verses. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Chapter 25 of Isaiah, and it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him, and we'll be glad and rejoice in his salvation. And it shall come to pass that from new moon to another, and from the Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. And it shall be in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols from the land, and they shall no longer be remembered. I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to depart from the land. When Jesus runs this world, he just does it efficiently. If you know, we always say, if you know the truth, you know what to do. He knows the truth. He knows what we do. He knows why we do it. He sees the blackness of our heart. He sees our motives. So you don't want to come before him as a judge. You got nothing to say. And it will be swift, and it will be efficient, and it will be operating like that all over the world. I don't know how it all functions, but I just know that's what the Bible says. This is going to be a time of peace and prosperity and purity. Here's one that kind of interests us as we get older. It will be a time of prolonged life. Now, how long is the millennium? All right. So, how long does a person get to live during that 1,000 years? Well, he won't live to be 1,000, I don't think. But listen to this verse, Isaiah 65:20. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old. When you're 100 years old in the millennium, you're a kid. You're a child. I'm not even a child yet. And the Bible says that children will not die and people will live much longer. In fact, Isaiah says that a man who's 100 years old will be considered a child, and there will also be an incredible increase in birth rate. Jeremiah writes about this coming New World Order, and he says, I will multiply them, and they shall not diminish. I will glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children shall be as before. It appears as if, during the millennial period, the lifespan that characterized the world before the flood is going to return. So people will be hundreds of years old. Who is the oldest man who ever lived? Methuselah. He almost made it to 1,000. And people are going to live for long periods of time during that 1,000 years. Finally, it'll be a time of personal joy. The millennium will be an exhilarating era of happiness and contentment and joy. It will be the answer to many anguished prayers. Isaiah 9:3 says, you have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Isaiah 12:3, therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Isaiah 14:7, the whole earth is at rest and quiet, and they break forth into singing. Isaiah 25:8-9, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, the rebuke of his people. He will take away from the earth, for the Lord has spoken. Isaiah 30:29, you shall have a song as in the night when a holy festival is kept, and gladness of heart as when one goes with a flute. Isaiah 42:10-12, sing to the Lord a new song and his praise from the ends of the earth, you who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you coastlands and your inhabitants of them. Let the wilderness and its cities lift up your voice. Every one of these passages you read just gives you this picture of a world that is filled with joy. Perhaps more than at any other time of the season when we celebrate Christmas, we get a little feeling. There's just an aura about Christmas, isn't there? There's a spirit of joy. Now, I know about all of the stress, and I never go on Black Friday, so I don't want to hear that part of it. But listen, during the spirit of Christmas, there's a different spirit in the hearts of people. There's a desire that we don't have during the rest of the year. And especially for those of us who are the people of God, we have joy in our hearts, don't we? Well, the Bible says the millennial period will be an entire 1,000-year period with the joy of Christmas every day. Celebratory, like waking up in the middle of the night and realizing you're in a festival, says one of the prophets. Because Jesus is the source of joy, and he will reign supreme over that entire period of time.
It's coming, folks. It's coming. God's ultimate new world order. And as we have learned, the Bible says that we will reign with him as his soldiers, as we walk upon this earth and do his bidding and see the wonderful, wonderful mercy and grace of the Lord in operation. Well, we thank you so much for being with us today. Tomorrow, we're going to begin 3 days that will wrap up this entire series. The title of the message tomorrow, which will be continued through Friday, is Keep Your Head in the Game and Keep Your Hope in God. This is the takeaway from this series. What should we do now that we know what we know? Well, here's the simplest way I can say it. Keep your head in the game and keep your hope in God. We'll talk about that tomorrow here on Turning Point. And don't forget, on Thursday of this week, Thursday night, just a couple of days from now, we're going to be in Washington, D.C. at the Verizon Center for a huge rally at 7 p.m. This is a Turning Point event to lift up our spirits and to worship the Lord together. And we are so excited to come and to share the ministry of Turning Point with all of our friends in the greater D.C. area. If you don't have tickets, you can still attend. You have to have tickets. You can order them by going to our website, which is davidjeremiah.org/rallies, and we will have the tickets available for you at will call on the day of the event. That is true both for the pastor's breakfast and also for the rally that night. Please don't wait any longer. This is about the last moment for you to make reservations to be with us in the nation's capital on Thursday night. Don't forget, tomorrow is the beginning of the last session here, and the title is Keep Your Head in the Game and Your Hope in God. See you next time right here.
The message you heard today originated in the pulpit of Shadow Mountain Community Church, where David Jeremiah serves as senior pastor. Please take a moment to share what God is doing in your life through this ministry. Write to Turning Point, Post Office Box 3838, San Diego, California, 92163. You can also contact us when you visit our website at davidjeremiah.org/radio or call 800-947-1993. When you call or visit online, request this month's resource, Angels. In this book, Dr. David Jeremiah uses Scripture to unveil the remarkable truths about these agents of heaven and their role and work in our world. Be prepared to find out some truly amazing facts about these heavenly beings. It's yours today for a gift of any amount when you call 800-947-1993 or click davidjeremiah.org/radio. This is Mark Larson. Join us tomorrow as we continue the coming economic Armageddon here on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.